I didn't even bring a Yuma tonight because we're just doing like a very quality Kachem Sugya. So I have my Zvachim, I have my Rambam, and we're good to go. So let's do it. Okay, Halacha. So the third of the four Avodot, right? We have Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. So what is going on? So we have, it seems to be a strange Avodah, right? Anything sticking out offhand that differentiates it from the other three? Excellent, right? Number one, not explicit in the Pasuk, right? Because what does the Pasuk have to say? Right, so there are three verbs.
Right.
Three verbs in the Pasuk, right? Right. So Shechita is mentioned explicitly, and Zrika is mentioned explicitly, and Halacha is not, right? The sons of Aaron shall bring or approach the blood to the Mizbeach. Okay, so textual feature. There's another Avodah that's missing from the Pasuk, seems to be, right? Kabbalah. So why are we picking on Halacha and allowing Kabbalah a freebie? Right? Shouldn't we be picking on Kabbalah too? So it's probably more than just the textual, right? There are definitely one, probably two other differences we can make between Halacha and the other three. Right? One the Gemara talks about and one the Gemara doesn't really talk about. And I forgot to give you one the Mar Makomos, which talks about it. So you probably know about one of the two. Right. But besides the textual, right, so just from a procedural perspective, from a practical perspective.
Say
in English what you mean.
Not doing it properly? No, well, not doing it does not prevent it from going through.
Yeah, okay, so the way the Gemara put it was that it's efshar levata, right? If it's from a pragmatic perspective, you could theoretically, practically we'll have to talk about, but theoretically you could bring a carbon without doing halacha, right? How could you do that? How could you bring a carbon without doing halacha?
Oh, if you do it right next to it.
Yeah, right next to a next-door neighbor shechita, right? So you'll shecht it right next to the mizbeach or on top of the mizbeach, and then you catch the blood, and then you can toss it right away onto the mizbeach, so you've got your shechita, your kabbalah, your zrika, and halacha has been skipped, right? So the fact that I could skip the halacha differentiates it from the other three, right? I obviously can't skip the shechita, and I can't skip the kabbalah, and I can't skip the zrika. Okay, so that's a second difference. There could be a third, but I forgot to give to I mentioned a footnote to try to look at the Ramban, but I didn't actually give it to you because Parshat Shavuot has a whole note in the Ramban where he says a bunch of this he doesn't understand. But he does make an important point. So if you look at the Pasuk, right, we talked about Kabbalah versus Halacha, right? Why are we picking on Halacha and letting Kabbalah get freebie, right? After all, the Pasuk only mentioned explicitly Shechita and Zrika, right? And then for Kabbalah, right, the Pasuk said what? It said Vehikrivu, right? Vehikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohen and Mesadam, they should bring the blood close. So where does, the Gemara says that means Kabbalah, and where does that come from? So Rashi, I made a second mistake, is I pasted, in the source codes at least, double-pasted Rashi instead of pasting Rashi and Rashbam. Oh. But Rashi and Rashbam give two different explanations for where we understand that Vehekrivu refers to Kabbalah. Right, so I remember what one of those two may have been.
That's the first thing that happened.
Yeah, excellent, right? The context, right? You just do your basic Sherlock Holmes deduction, right? And after Shechita, so whatever comes next must be Kabbalah, right? So Rashi says, contextual, right? I have this vague word. If the Torah wanted to say Holacha, then what word could it have used instead of Ekribu b'nei Aaron HaKohen and Mesadam? Could have said...
If you want to say Holacha?
Yeah.
Well...
Someone who knows better than Hebrew than me didn't go to MTA.
The whole argument is that Holacha... Like, Hakrava is Lashon Halacha,
you know? Yeah, but if you want it to, it's like 90%, but it's Hakrava is Lashon Halacha. Yeah, or Zayin.
Right.
Exactly. Sure. I don't know how to conjugate the word, right? But it's not 100% accurate, which gives you a bit of a crack, right? And so then we say, look, between the fact that it's not actual halacha in the pasuk and contextually, we have to have a Kabbalah, right? So Rashi says that's where Kabbalah comes from. So then where does halacha come from, says Rashi?
Because the hikrivu implies, like, that's what it sort of means.
Yeah,
exactly. You're bringing it closer to the
Mizbeach, right.
So, and that's what halacha is.
Right. 90% isn't 100%, but yeah. It's 90%, right? You're bringing it close, so the word choice
right.
Sounds like halacha. The word context indicates Kabbalah, so from that I get both. Rashbam says a little bit differently. Rashbam says, look, we have this kind of broad phrase, you bring the blood close. So in order to bring the blood close from the neck, severed neck of the animal to the Mizbeach, that requires two different actions, right? That requires A, Kabbalah, B, Halacha. So the broader phrase, Hakrava, according to Rashbam, is used in order to capture both of those phrases. The Ramban, and this is how we get to the difference between, the third difference between Halacha and everything else, Ramban says, no. Kabbalah, Hikrivu does not mean walking the blood over. It doesn't even mean bringing the blood over, right? He says, literally, hakrivu means carbonizing the blood, right? You carbonize. You make it a carbon. Avuhulashom carbon, sheya'asu min hadam carbon, right? You will make a carbon out of the blood. And what is required to make a carbon out of the blood? So he says, second line in the second paragraph, v'hu, lekablo ulzarko al hamizbeach. If you want to talk about what constitutes doing something to the blood, so Kabbalah is something that you do to the blood, right? You catch it, and it gets a new level of kedusha because you just put it in a kli sharis, and now it's gone from having regular kedusha to the kedusha that it can go onto the mizbeach. So Kabbalah does something to the blood. And Zrika does something to the blood, right? Because now you take the blood and you make it complete its destiny, and now it's achieved kapara. So those two are considered hikrivu. Those two are considered making, carbonizing the blood. You're doing something to the blood. Holacha, you don't do anything to the blood, right? It's not like shchita or kabbalah or zrika, where there's a change and a change in status. All there is a change in location. Right, it's a location change, not a quality change. So Ramban says that's the difference between holacha and everything else, is that holacha has not advanced the cause of the carbon, right? While shchita, kabbalah, and zrika all have, right? And kabbalah and zrika in particular, he says that's what makes the carbon a carbon, right? Obtaining the dam from the animal and then putting the dam on the mizbeach. It's not an accident. Those two things are maybe afshel levata. Okay, so then at the end, we're left with three differences between halacha and everything else. Number one, the textual difference, right, that it's not mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. Number two, the procedural difference, right, that you could skip it, just technically speaking. And number three, right, that there may be like an underlying conceptual difference, that there's no advancing the cause of the carbon involved in halacha, while Ramban says that the other three do. Okay, so now the question is, so what? Right, the fact that halacha has these differences, what does that do to its status? How do we understand what's going on over here? Okay, so one place where we have it, right, where we have halacha potentially singled out, right, is the Gemara on Daf Dalet and Zvachim, right? What's going on then? Zvachim Daf Dalet. So Gemara is trying to figure out. Right. Sorry, what?
No.
I didn't hear.
No.
We're trying to figure out where we learn.
Oh,
Daf Dalet. Yeah, Daf Dalet.
Oh,
what? the first Mishnah in Zvachim, right? So the first Mishnah in Zvachim describes the psul of Lishma, right? That when you do the avoda to the carbon, you have to have intent, right? When you do it to a chatas, this must be a chatas. When you do it to an ola, this must be an ola. So, which avoda of the four avoda do you have to have proper lishma for? Says the Mishnah, or says then the Gemara? So it's all four, right? You have to have lishma for all four avodas, right? Shechita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. Where does that come from? So the Gemara first brings the pasuk for shechita, and then gradually works out to everything else. So you would have expected, right? If you'd expect, what order would you derive the avodas in? Right? We start with shechita. Chronologically, I would think, right? First shechita, then kabbalah, then halacha, and then zrika. Right, so just from the first four words of Zvachim Daf Dalet and Alef in the source quotes here, you see it's not the case, right? Because Ashkechan Kulhu Halacha Minalan, right? So the one which is saved for last is Halacha. We go out of order a little bit. So the Gemara says, well, V'chitema Leilach Mikulhu, right? Maybe I could learn out Halacha because we already proved you have to have Lashma for the other three, so we learn from the other three, right? So the Gemara says, no. Maybe Halacha is different from the other three. Why should Halacha be different? This is a key line. It's the first place introduced in the Gemara. Yeah, right? Malakulhu shekin efsh avoda she'i efshar levatla. Right? The other three are essential avodos. Right? Tomar b'halacha she'efshar levatla. Okay, and then the pasuk says, v'hikriv esakol ha'mezbecha. Right? So we learn v'hikriv, so that that teaches walking over the limbs, v'tanya v'hikrivu zokobal sadam. Right, and that's the Afik Rachmana Balash and Halacha, Lamir Dalacha, La Tafka, Mikal Kabbalah. Right, that when we had Kabbalah, so we also we can do a twofer, right, both Kabbalah and Halacha. But at least as a Havamina, right, the Gemara attained the possibility that Halacha, it's the last one to come into the station, and B, we have at least a Havamina that there is no Psul, Shalol Lishma for Halacha because it is Afshar Labat. Right, it is possible to skip the stage of halacha. Okay, that's the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph. Then you do a little bit more zvachem, and you get to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and all of a sudden, the Mishnah Yud Gimel, what was seemed to be unanimous position, breaks out as a machlokas tanai. Right, and we have three positions in the Mishnah. Right, who do we got? Tanakama, right? What does Tanakama say?
You need to have Kabbalah reading for all four avodos.
Exactly, right? So halacha, you have to have lishma for halacha, just like everything else. That's the position of the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon, right? He's we'll have to spend a lot of time with Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon have to say?
You don't need
lishma for halacha. Okay, why? Exactly, right? Once again, he says, right? He says the reason is because it's you could skip it. Okay, so then once Rabbi Shimon's saying you don't need lishma for halachas, you can skip it. So what do we have to ask?
And what would we do with our Gemara?
Well, that's the position of
Tanakama,
right? Okay.
Why?
Yeah. So why does Tanakama argue, right? Rabbi Shimon says you can skip halacha, therefore it doesn't need lishma. So what stage of the reasoning is the Tanakhama going to argue with? Right? Okay. And then position number three in the Mishnah is?
That you would need halacha if it's like bringing it to the right place, but if halacha is not bringing it to the place it needs to go, then you don't need.
Exactly, right? Let's say the middle position, splitting the difference between the two. Okay, so we're going to have to kind of try to clarify and sharpen all three of these. So I think the best way to do it.
Do I have a marker?
All right. Yes, awesome. Does it work? Even better. So we'll pull a, we'll do like what Rilotzin would do, right? And we'll say a priori, right? A priori, you could have you could say that Efshar Levatla affects Holacha, right? In one of five ways. You could say five.
Right. Awesome. Okay. Right. So number one, I could say that I'll do it in it's never an avoda. So it's not an avoda, right? I have three avodas. I have the avoda of shechita, I have the avoda of kabbalah, and I have the avoda of zrika. Halacha is just not an avoda. That would be option one. Option two, right, is you could say that... kind of one step up from this would be it is an avoda when halacha is objectively required. In other words, when there are cases that objectively you need to walk the blood, so then you're gonna it'll be an avoda, right? So
So, you know, objectively, E, F shar, Lavatla would be different. Is there no which case the Gemara raises? Which case is E, F shar, Lavatla objectively? This is Rish Lakish's insight on Daf Yud Daled. Rish Lakish says there's a certain category of carbon which you must always walk the blood of. It kind of ties back to some of our Yuma learning also.
Not chata?
Sorry?
Chata?
But a special kind of chata.
Chata pnimiot.
Bingo, right? Which are what? What are the chatas of pnimiot?
The ones that need to be brought inside the kodesh.
Yeah, right. So you can't shech them inside the heichal, right? There are two chatos which are brought inside. One is, one we should know. One, two. We have two chatos where the blood is sprinkled inside the
kodesh. The one of the
kodesh.
Bingo, exactly, right?
The
chatos of
the... And then the one from the house.
No. Okay, you know, you're... Okay, I'm sorry, you're right. So the two chatos of Yom Kippur is one category of chatos pnimis, and then the other one is the par halam davar shel tzibur. Right, so those are the two which are brought on the inside. So Rish Lakish says that even Rabbi Shimon will tell you that you must have lashma in that category, right? That's the category where you objectively can't skip halacha, which means that nobody thinks this, right? Right? That's Rish Lakish's argument. Nobody thinks that halacha is not an avodah straight up. The most extreme we can say is that when it's objectively skippable, it's not an avodah. Okay, what's one step beyond objectively skippable? Or objectively not skippable? Bingo! Right, exactly. So what would that mean, subjectively skippable?
Meaning it would be more complicated to do without it? Or it's not necessarily a necessary part, but a one that's part of the process.
Like, so you've got, here's the cow, right? So here I give you the living, breathing cow, and Mizbeach is all the way over there. So how are we going to skip? How are we going to subjectively skip halacha?
We're going to throw the blood. You can reach. It can make the reach.
Okay, so you could be a Steph Curry Kohen, but it's a living, breathing animal. So
Rodan used to always say,
he has long arms like Kevin Durant.
See, Kevin Durant was not yet in the NBA when I was in Gush. He was actually in high school my first year. So you'll just. You have a case where you take the animal. You could skip the halacha had you brought the animal over to the mizbeach. In the event you don't bring the animal over to the mizbeach, then halacha is going to be required, right? So practically, I could arrange it where halacha is necessary. I could arrange it where halacha is not necessary. So if I make it necessary because I shaft it over here, then it'll be lishma will be required. If I do it over there, lishma won't be required. And that's the position of one of the three Tanam of the Mishnah. And that's the position of Rabbi Eliezer, right? It's a very reasonable position. He's saying, look, tachlis, can I skip halacha or not? If I can skip halacha tachlis-wise, then it's insignificant because what, we're going to do a charade? You're going to shech the animal next to the mizbeach, run around in a circle and bring it back? That's ridiculous. That halacha is meaningless, right? But if you shech it over here and now you have to walk it, so now that's a significant halacha. That's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So that's, you know, subjective.
But sorry, just to understand exactly, the subjective efshar levatla.
Yeah.
Is that? Are you trying to split that? Is that a cat? You're saying? Are you saying that's a fundamentally separate category in of itself, or are you saying that splits into two different categories? As in, when I shech the animal over here and I can't reach the one over there, does that now become? Does that now fall into the category of objectively required, or is that somehow halachically less?
No. Objectively required is only this carbon by definition must be walked. That's only the chatas which is brought inside the kodesh, right? All other karbanos, they could have a necessary halacha, they could not have a necessary halacha, just depending on what, you know, Joe Kohen decides to do, right? So Rabbi Shimon tells you, If the animal theoretically could have dished halacha, that tells you that halacha is insignificant. Rabbi Eliezer says, if the animal practically can avoid halacha, then halacha is insignificant.
So how do we know that Rabbi Eliezer, apart from Reish Lakish's explanation, how do we know that it's not, Rabbi Eliezer is not talking about two, and Rabbi Shimon would even disagree on two that you would need it?
So, well, Rabbi Eliezer is the most clear of the three Tanaim, because Rabbi Eliezer, that's just what he says in the Mishnah. He speaks for so long, but he just tells you that, what's the exact language? Rabbi Eliezer says, read it? Yeah, right, that when, exactly. Hamahalech, hamakam shehut tzarech lahalech, if you have to walk there, right, then it's it'll lishma is needed, and if you're walking is unnecessary, then it won't. Rabbi Shimon, theoretically, you could have said one, you could have said two. Reish Lakish tells you, right, Reish Lakish's svara is that Rabbi Shimon holds of two. Okay, and now there are two more possibilities you could make, right? One, and here's where we get into the view of what exactly the chachamim is. One is that it's always an avoda, even though you can avoid it. So it's always an avoda, even though you can avoid it. You can avoid it, but when you do it, it's an avoda.
Yeah.
Right? That's been level four. If you avoid it, you avoid it. Afshar levatla. But when you do it, it's you know, lishma, just like every other avoda. And then there's one more possibility, right? The most extreme, the most strong halacha shita you could have, right, is not just it's an avoda, even though you can avoid it. Maybe we'll say, any ideas?
Required.
Exactly, right? You can't avoid it. Now, what does that mean? I can't avoid it. Practically speaking, can I avoid it? Absolutely, right? I could shaft it over there. So, if we say you can't avoid it, that doesn't mean practically, right? That's what does that mean? Exactly, right? Al pidin, legally, you have to do it, and even if it's pragmatically not necessary, we're going to make you do it anyway. So now, right, so we would want to know, so Rabbi Shimon is here, right, he could have been here, but Reish Lakish told us he's not. Rabbi Eliezer is here, and the Chachamim, we're not sure if they're four or if they're five. Okay, now,
How could they be four?
They'll say that you need... If you do halacha, you need lishma.
But you don't necessarily need
to. But you don't need to do halacha.
Okay.
But whenever you do a halacha... So shrooms?
A pi has this word.
I don't want to say that. I told you so.
It's like it's Kislev already. Oh, man.
I did tell you.
Hanukkah time.
They did. I just checked. But we just assumed... Because it's always, it's the
most
every week, and it's over. Maybe that's
how
they do it.
Doesn't
AFI
have a house or
something?
No, they got it taken away
do
by
you know
the FBI.
Story? Oh, because
they're running a crazy drug ring. No, but they have a DC townhouse.
They
don't
have
a
DC
suite.
They
have a DC townhouse. They have a DC townhouse.
You can see into it, actually.
I can't take away the seriousness from it.
Board drawing. I have it written down, though, but I also
wrote
it. I
And you also know.
Maybe it will be. And you also know what he said.
You do a quick.
Yeah. Do you want me to?
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we produce it quickly? Five
here,
levels.
Here, you want the tar- it's a baby.
So you got that. Better this way because I was actually gonna. I needed like 6 inches of board on the side.
Oh wow!
Right.
Right. This is all shared.
So, yeah. A pi is being mechazik Talmud Torah.
During our pledge week, they always do like a million events in that room. No, it's not pledge week. But
yeah,
Ben suits.
Subjectively on the Pachita equals need. Okay. That's the motion.
Can you really ever do without Lishma?
So now there's one more big question to ask once we've got this, which is all the three Tanaim in the Mishnah, what are they arguing about? Right? What halacha are they arguing about in the Mishnah?
Well, couldn't it either be...
Sorry? Exactly, right? Machshava, right? Does this need lishma or does it not need lishma? So now, there's one more question that we have to ask, which is, let's say it needs lishma. So that tells you...
They're arguing about more than just machshava. I mean, they're arguing about also whether it's a part of the avodah.
So that's the kind of question, right? Is that what are the broader consequences of this machlokas? Right? They're arguing about does it need lishma or does it not need lishma. So let's say it needs lishma. So if it needs lishma, then we're going to say it's an avoda. But, right, when we say it's an avoda, are we saying it's a regular avoda? Or are we saying it's a... Class B. Avoda. Right? So for the Chachamim, for example. Right? So the Chachamim tell us that Halacha needs Lishma. So it's definitely an Avoda. In all cases. But does that tell us anything about if it's a full-fledged Avoda or not? We don't know. In other words...
Isn't that difference between
4 and 5? Well... In other words, they're arguing about the impact of Efshar Levatla on Lishma, right? Halacha is theoretically skippable. Everyone argues about whether it being theoretically skippable affects Lishma for Halacha. Now we need to ask, even if you think that Efshar Levatla does not affect Lishma for Halacha, maybe it affects something else, right? Maybe there are other areas where they do think that being Efshar Levatla has consequences for Halacha? Right? I could think that, no, right? I agree that Efshar Levatla changes the conception of Halacha. Lishma is not a nafkamina. Right? In terms of, you know, the symptoms, so, you know, Lishma is not a symptom that from which you could tell that Halacha is different from the other three avodos. Right? From that perspective, it looks the same. But if you're looking for other symptoms may be there.
But isn't the position of five basically negating Avshalavatha? Like you're
basically position,
saying that it isn't like the five seems to be clearly stating that it is an avodah.
1,000%. I agree with you 100%. And that's gonna be important when we get to the Rambam. 100%, right? If you say five, which is the strongest view of right, that you can't avoid holacha at all, then you're saying afshar levatla doesn't exist. It's e afshar levatla always, right? Legally, as Dasi was saying, I can't avoid it even if I shecht it next to the mizbeach. So yeah, if legally we require you to shecht it next to the mizbeach, then afshar levatla can't have ramifications outside of lishma, because then we're saying it's never afshar levatla, right? Okay, very good. So what do we have? What do we have to say? So we've got these three views in the Tanaim. Okay. So if you look, it's a cool sugya, partially because you get lamdas on all three levels. You get lamdas in the Tanaim, you get lamdas between the Amoraim, and then you get lamdas, you know, in the Rishonim, obviously. So if you look at the Taras Kohanim, so Taras Kohanim puts a little bit of meat on the bones of the Machlokas Tanaim, right? And so does the Tosefta, because, well, for one thing, both the Taras Kohanim and the Tosefta tell us the identity of the Chachamim, right? Who's the brains behind the Chachamim, or who's the man behind the Chachamim in our sugya? A man who didn't show up in the Mishnah. Rei Meir, right? Rei Meir is the Chachamim. So is that surprising, or is that expected? Well, the author of...
Like, are you asking methodologically or within the sugya?
Methodologically.
No.
Right, why not?
Often that's what we say.
Yeah, exactly, right? An anonymous Mishnah is assumed to be Rei Meir's authorship. So if I have the view of the Chachamim, and then I find out that the Chachamim is actually Rei Meir, that doesn't surprise me either.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Okay, fine, good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Knowledge of what would Rabbi Meir in this case say.
Okay, so Rabbi Meir is the Chachamim, and unlike in the Mishnah, where in the Mishnah, right, the Tanakhama just said you need Lishma for all four Avodos and didn't explain why, in the Taras Kohanim we have an explanation, right? What's the explanation for Rabbi Meir's position that's given in the Taras Kohanim? Let me read it, just the first line. Yeah, right, so say it slowly so everyone can get it. Rei Meir Omer. Yeah, so what's his rationale?
It's not possible to do it without.
So since it's necessary, therefore Shalol Lishma is possible. What do we think about that? Does that make sense? Or how do we explain that? Since you can't have avoda without holacha, therefore holacha can pass your lishma. Is that true?
The question you're asking about
Rei Meir. Why does Rei Meir say halacha's pasal? He gives a reason. Why is halacha pasal? Because it is impossible to have the service without walking the blood.
But you can if you shaft right next to the mizbeach.
Yeah. So what does it mean?
Maybe it means the one of the latter views we are thinking about. That like you need, it's mandated. You need to do it.
So that could be, but it doesn't sound like it.
Or maybe he thinks he can do halacha without walking. Maybe just like bring it over with your.
Okay, so that's a whole. So if we're gonna do two shiurim on halacha, then we talk about alternate forms of halacha.
Like any type of transfer equals halacha.
Yeah. And that was the Rambam, if you saw, right? The halacha shelo beregel. But let's not get into that because that just gets messy. So it's a little bit odd. The way that the Vilna Gaon, right, that's why the Vilna Gaon amends the text of the Taras Kohanim, and the way the Vilna Gaon changes it, sounds exactly like what Matt was saying, right? Because if you look at the Vilna Gaon's version, which I, for your convenience, just typed in here, right? So he reads the Torah's Kohanim. Remeir Omer Poselas Behilach. Why? Yes, what does that mean?
You have to do it. Men do it.
Right, you have to do it. So that sounds an awful lot like which one of our five options on the board? Number five, right? The Gruz version of the Chachamim sounds an awful lot like number five. The Taras Kondo as we have it is a little bit of a mystery. Okay, fine. We have the Sefta. We'll skip the Sefta. The Sefta is just an interesting story. Right? The Sefta says Rabbi Yossi found Rabbi Shimon and he said, Rabbi Shimon, you know, can you explain to me why our friend Meir thinks that Halacha is Pasal Shol Lishma? Troubles me, right? Why is Rabbi Meir thinking that Halacha is Pasal Shol Lishma? And Rabbi Shimon says back to Rabbi Yossi, he says, it's a good question. In fact, I wonder the same thing, because I think that Halacha Shol Lishma is Kasher. So they have a good conversation. That's going on in the Tosafta. Okay, fine. Let's try to jump ahead a little bit. Let's focus first a little bit on the position of Rabbi Shimon. Try to dig into Rabbi Shimon, and then we'll dig into the position of the Chachamim a little bit more. So he said Rabbi Shimon theoretically could have said the Halacha is not an avod at all, right? But Reish Lakish knocked that one out because he said when you have an objective requirement for halacha, right, such as, or i.e. the chataos hapnimios, the chataos which are brought into the Kodesh, namely those of Yom Kippur and the Parham Dabar Shel Tzibur, so in those cases, Shelo Lishma will be possible. So now we have to ask, okay, Rabbi Shimon thinks that usually, right, usually you don't have a psul of Lishma. So does he think that in addition to not having a psul of lishma, right, in cases when halacha is not necessary, or maybe, right, so again, according to Rabbi Shimon, Mizbeach is over here and you shacht it over there, right? So that's the case where it's subjectively necessary, but you didn't have to do it. Rabbi Shimon says in that case, lishma will not be a problem, right? You could have shechted it here, therefore when you shacht it there, you don't need lishma. That's Rabbi Shimon's position. Does he think that this halacha is totally meaningless? Does he think that this halacha is not an avoda at all? Or does he think that it is an avoda, just you don't need to have lishma? So there's a test case, a good test, other than lishma, whether this is an avoda or whether this is just maintenance. Zar, right? Exactly. Explain.
If it can be done with the zar, then that shows that it is not avoda. But if it can't be, then that shows that it is avoda.
Exactly, right? If it's not an avoda at all, and it's just I need a schlepper to get the blood over to the Mizbeach, it doesn't have to be a Kohen, right? It could be a Zar. But if I think that it is an avoda, just, you know, it's a weak avoda, because it's skippable, and therefore Rabbi Shimon thinks you don't need lishma, so then presumably you will require a Kohen to do it, even though he doesn't have to have lishma. Is that clear? Does that point make sense? Okay. So the Amoraim jump into this, and it's a whole long discussion, so I said don't read the whole Gemara, right? But there are three basic views in the Amoraim, right? There are just three, at the end of the day, shitos, whether a zar is required for halacha or not. Did anybody get to see any of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Okay, straight. So we've got three, right? So who?
Rabbi
Great.
Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi.
Right, who often fight because they agree.
And Rabbi Elazar.
Yes, right. So who says, what does Rav Chista say?
Kasher.
Rav Chista says kasher, right? According to?
What do you mean according to?
Rav Chista says halacha can be, is kasher with the czar.
Because of the pasuk.
Right. Is he saying that within a specific tana, Rav Chista? This one you can maybe know, because this one actually shows up in our Gemara in Yuma too. So, Baumine Merav Chista, Halacha Bizar Mahu, and Amar Lahu, he said to them, Kshira, right, straight up. He says to them straight up, it's Kasher. So Rav Chista is not talking within any Tana, right? Rav Chista thinks that everyone agrees, Halacha is Kasher Bizar. So that's a little bit shocking. Right, why is it shocking to think that everyone agrees, Halacha is Kasher Bizar? What's the problem with saying that? That all the Tanaim say you don't need it.
Because you have clear examples of being cheated as an avoda, potentially.
How so?
In the what we were just referring to. But it's, yeah, it says it. Yeah. It it's referred to as an avoda. No. Yeah.
Unnamed kemper. That has to be done by Kohen.
No.
No.
Just like just
oh,
basic.
Who
does anybody in the Tanaim think that you need lishma for halacha?
Yes.
Absolutely,
so
right?
Yeah, but no, but is that? Do you, well? The question is, do you only need lishma for things that are like? Could you potentially think that you need lishma for things that aren't avodot also, possibly? So I'm saying, unless you have an explicitly
okay,
if that makes sense.
That yes. Right. But that would be, would that be surprising or would that be expected?
That would be surprising.
Definitely, right? If something is not an avoda, but it needs lishma, that would be surprising. Well, Rav Chisda thinks that we have it in halacha, right? That halacha can be done with a zar, it can be done with a zar, but it doesn't need lishma. Now, it happens to be there actually is something which is also kasher bizar, but doesn't need lishma, one of the four avodos. Shchita, right? Shchita k'sher bazar, and the Gemara says, why is Shchita k'sher bazar? Because Shchita lav avodahi. So that gets, but it is an avodah. Okay, great. And then, you know, it's a whole discussion of the status of Shchita. So apparently Rav Chisda thinks that halacha is comparable to Shchita. Okay, so he gets rejected, so we won't spend too much time on him. Let's focus on how to understand Rabbi Shimon. So, right, Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that you don't need lishma. So the Gemara has two views which are germane to Rabbi Shimon's position, right? Because what do Rab and Rabbi Yosef say together about Zar? Does that make sense or is that surprising?
Depends how we understand. I mean, if you just want to graph them as parallel things, then it makes sense.
Totally makes sense, right? The eminently reasonable idea, right? Those who require Lishma will require a Kohen, and those who don't require Lishma will not require a Kohen. Why? Because what's the real machlokas between the view of Rabbi Shimon and the view of the Chachamim / Rabbi Meir?
Whether it's avoda.
Exactly, right? So whether is it an avoda or is it not, when it's, subjectively skippable, two nafkamina, number one, lishma, our Mishnah, number two, Zar versus Kohen, right? So that's Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. That makes a ton of sense, right? View number two in the Gemara, or view number three. But right, what's the view of Rabbi Elazar and also Ula? I think that's the very end of this little quote from Svachim Yudal, bottom of page 2 of the quotes.
It's all day, it's not. Yeah, it's psula.
Yeah, right. Halacha bizar psula, filu the Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so that's strange, right? Shchita is a case where you need a lishma, but you can have a zar. You never have the flip case, where you have to have a kohen, but he doesn't have to have lishma. So that's interesting. Apparently, right? Rabbi Elazar thinks that according to Rabbi Shimon, is halacha avoda or not?
Yes.
It is, right? So that's a fundamental machlokas in the Amoraim about Rabbi Shimon's view, right? Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef thought that it was not an avoda, while Rabbi Elazar thinks that it is. So why should we distinguish between lishma and kohen in the way that they do? Why should we say that holacha l'shelo lishma is okay, but holacha must be done with a kohen?
Because we have a pasuk explicit
for you. This is the way we are from the pasuk telling us that it must be done with a kohen. Did Rabbi Elazar have a
pasuk? Not according to him, but according to later things that we see that explain that opinion.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're referring to. Okay, so Shinu Gebetzet introduces. We're basically asking is what's the difference between zar and lishma, right? That's the question. How come if it's an avoda, why should it need a kohen, but it doesn't need lishma? So Shinu Gebetzet introduces a distinction, which is kind of a problematic one, but it's what he says. By the way, Shinu Gebetzet on zvachim. If you, I don't know, they have new editions of the Gemara, which make it much easier. On Zvachim and Amenachos also, you have what's called Shidun Gebetzet on the margin of your Gemara, right, as opposed to like the separate Rishon Shidun Gebetzet that we dealt with last year in Bava Kamma. I'm not sure if it's Rav Betzalel Ashkenazi or if it's someone else, but it's like half little dinky textual emendations and half like, critical paragraphs from other collections of Balei HaTosfot. So in the new Gemaras, now they started like separating those into two different groups, which like, I don't know why it took them so long to do, but now you've got your little changes, Shidduchim, and you have your essay, Shidduchim. So here's essay version. And the distinction he makes really kind of goes back to the point he made from the Ramban before. He says, look, in the world of Shalo Lishma, or in the world of Pigul, you need to have avodos which advance the cause of this carbon being eaten. You have to have something which is a matir, something which is going to allow the carbon to further the cause of the carbon being eaten. You don't have that in halacha, because halacha just means you're slapping the carbon over. So he says that's why lishma is not a problem, but a kohen is, because it is an avoda, but you know, similar to what the Ramban said, it's not an avoda that advanced the cause of the animal anyway. That's his suggestion. It's a big problem, A, because pigul and shalo lishma are related, but they're different, right? Number two, if he was right, you should say the same thing for Kabbalah, because Kabbalah does not allow anything to happen, and yet everyone agrees that there's shalo lishma for Kabbalah. So I'm not sure what to do with this, Shidduchim Bat Zas. I had an idea to make a distinction, but it seems like Rav Lichtenstein totally disagrees with me, so that's a problem. Basically, I was like halfway there. I was kind of excited. This is just a little bit of a one minute tangent. There, when it comes to the Isser Zaras, right, you have to have a Kohen. So what do you have to have a Kohen for? You have to have a Kohen for the Bais HaMikdash. Avoda, right? So excellent, right? You have to have a Kohen for Avoda. So there are actually two categories which require Kohen. Usually they overlap, but they don't always do so. You need a Kohen for Avoda. You also need a Kohen for anything which happens on the Mizbeach. The way the Gemara says it is, V'chli yala al-daitcha shezar yikarev l'mizbeach. Right? Would it occur to you that a zar could approach the Mizbeach? According to many Rishonim, there's an isser for a zar to walk onto the Mizbeach, just like there's an isser for a zar to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. So usually those two overlap, right? Usually something which is an avoda deals with the Mizbeach, and something which is not an avoda, and something which is not an avoda does not deal with the Mizbeach. We have a couple of cases where you only have one of those two things. So one possible example of something which is on the Mizbeach but isn't an avoda would be Trumas Hadashen, right? You know what Trumas Hadashen is? Exactly, right? The early morning ash scooping, right? And that's the Mishnayos early in Yuma, right? The story of why they started doing lotteries for, right? Because what happened?
The guy broke his leg.
That was one story. A guy broke his leg. And what was the other thing that happened?
They knocked someone over? No, I don't remember.
The guy who was in second place whipped out his... They're having a race to get to the top of his back. Yeah, exactly, right? I still don't understand why the other Cohen was carrying a knife during the race. But he stabs the other Cohen to death, and so you know, between those two, they said that this race is not working out, and we should adopt a lottery procedure. But Trumas Hadeshen requires a Kohen, but it may not be an avoda, right? So Tosfos think that Trumas Hadeshen is an example of something which is on the Mizbeach, and since it's on the Mizbeach, that's why a Kohen is required, right? Category two of something which is an avoda but isn't really on the Mizbeach, you could say Kabbalah, right? Catching the blood is an avoda, but you don't catch the blood on the Mizbeach, and catching the blood doesn't really have anything to do with the Mizbeach, right? So usually those two categories overlap, but there are differences. So I had thought that you could say that halacha is part of bringing the blood to the Mizbeach, right? In fact, what was the word the Torah used to describe Kabbalah? Be'akrivu, right? Where are you bringing it to? You bring it to the Mizbeach, right? So I thought, oh, this is really cool, right? We could say, halacha is not an avoda, and therefore, you know, shalo lishma is not a problem according to Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon will tell me that a zar is still prohibited because this is in the category of things which are on the Mizbeach, going to the Mizbeach, involving the Mizbeach. That's what I thought you could say. Our problem is that in his piece on Zar in the Zvachim Shir, or Lichtenstein says, And if you want a great example of an avoda, which is an avoda that has nothing to do with the Mizbeach, you have Kabbalah and you have Holacha. So I saw that and I was upset. So, I don't know why, but I'll take it. So that was my suggestion, and apparently he disagreed. Okay, what can you do? So that's the view of, right, that I'll kind of wrap up with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon thinks that when you can skip Holacha, no Lishma is needed. Is it an avoda or not? So that's a machlokas in the Amarai, right? And the nafka mina is whether a zar is required, and we're struggling a little bit to understand the position which thinks that you need a kohen but you don't need lishma. Okay, that's a rishon. Let's move to the chachamim. Right, we've got 15 minutes, which is not enough time, but what can we do? So what exactly do the chachamim think about holacha? A, are they number four people or are they number five people? And B, what do they think about the status of halacha as an avoda? So before we, our mission here, again, for the Chachamim, is we know that, does Afshar Levatla have consequences for Lashma, according to the Chachamim?
No,
right? The fact you can skip it does not have consequences for Lashma. So one of the questions we need to ask is... Exactly. Right? Does it have consequences or anything else? So we're like on the lookout to see, does Afshar Levatla have consequences outside of whether or not there is Lishma, right? Because if it does have consequences, then we can say maybe it's not a full-fledged avoda, right? Maybe it's a class B avoda, even though you still require Lishma. Okay. So where to start? So first of all, were you able to see any of the Mefarshim on the Mishnah? That okay. Which ones did you see? Excellent. Okay, so
yeah.
You didn't see. So the real critical ones were Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Tiferet Yisrael. So, Lise, you guys are able to see the Rabbi Akiva Eger's piece. So he had a really important one. Okay, good. So what did he have to say? This is a good one to.
That Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama are not disagreeing. Not Rabbi Akiva. I did that during our conference also. Rabbi Eliezer.
Oh, this. Yeah.
And the Tanakama agree, but. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon disagree.
Right. So when Rabbi Eliezer speaks up in the Mishnah again, what did Rabbi Eliezer say?
if you're doing necessary halacha, then
right. Subjectively necessary, yes. Right? If you shecht it next to the Mizbeach and then go for a lap, that's meaningless, right? Right? But if you shecht it over there, then that's meaningful. That was Rabbi Eliezer's position. So Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes Rashi, he says, who thinks that was Rabbi Eliezer bringing a third independent view? No, what was he doing?
Agreeing,
right? So he was explaining, right? He's being mafarish what the Tanakhama was saying. So, and that's key, because now we have to stretch our brackets, right? Chachamim may not even be four or five, right? Chachamim may actually be number three, right? Rabbi Eliezer may be, that should be an off right there. Rabbi Eliezer should be the Tanakam. Okay, that's pretty extreme. If you don't see that, if we treat the Chachamim as an independent view, right? Rabbi Eliezer as an independent view, and they say no. Whenever you do holacha, it needs lishma. Doesn't matter if it's objectively required, subjectively required, not required at all, and you're just doing a lap around the mizbeach because you started here, now that's where you're going to come back to, right? You always have a psul of lishma for holacha. So does that tell me that it's a full-fledged avoda, or do I say that Afshar Levatla has consequences in other areas, instead? Okay, so we're tight. So let's just skip to what Tosfos and the Rambam had to say. So Tosfos, and this comes up a couple of places, and it comes up in Yuma, comes up in Chagiga, comes up in Zvachim. The Tosfos here are trying to figure out What's motivating us to read the pasuk of Vehikrivo as referring to Kabbalah? Right? The pasuk referred to Kabbalah, so he said that you need Shlo Lashma for Kabbalah. Then from there, we'll derive the also needed from for Halacha. So those ask, as we said, right? Word choice, Hikrivu does sound more like Halacha than like Kabbalah. So why does the Gemara assume that primarily it refers to Kabbalah? Why shouldn't the Gemara assume that primarily refers to Halacha? So what are the answer?
So first he quotes Rashi, who says that the reason that he would learn Kabbalah from Vehikrivo is because that's what comes right after Shlita.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that that doesn't make sense with the meaning of, he disagrees.
This is what we said.
Yeah, we couldn't exactly figure out what he was saying.
Yeah, well, it's just because the context of the Gemara. Because the Gemara then asks, how do you know this refers to Kabbalah? Maybe it refers to Zrika.
Yeah.
So, Rashi has an answer to that. Okay.
How could it refer to Zrika if then in the rest of the pasuk it says Zrika explicitly?
I hear you. Well, Ramban, for example, thought that Hikrivu referred to both Kabbalah and Zrika. Right. He thought that it was the carbonizing process and. I'm not sure. I hear you. I don't know.
That's what he's saying. We just disagreed.
Yeah. I hear you.
Like we got what he was saying. We were just like, how could he really mean
right.
that?
Right. No, the only problem is that the Gemara means it. So we're disagreeing with the Gemara, and I hear you. Not sure. So the good news is. Okay. Doesn't matter. But anyway, right. So what did Tosos themselves argue? Elanera, right? The milkminan la bekabala obezrika. Why? Why do we assume that it has to be either Kabbalah or Zrika? Why can't it be Halacha as a primary reference? Okay. So the two things there, right? So what do they say? Lefi shehin avodot chashuvot
shir levala.
That was the kicker.
Exactly. Right? So the kicker is so. How are Tosos categorizing or defining? Right, what's the adjective we're going to slap onto halacha?
That's
not chashuv.
Not chashuv, right? It is an avoda. So it is a class B avoda, right? It is an avoda she'ina chashuva. And why is an avoda she'ina chashuva? She'ina chashuva. Right? So that may not have consequences for lishma, but it certainly has consequences for how we categorize, how do we categorize halacha. Halacha actually is, right, the little brother of the four avodos. Tosas and Yuma, they say the same thing for Zaris. Because the Gemara says, Gemara Zadrasha, that a Kohen is required beginning with Kabbalah, right? And that's from Vehikrivu, right? Because it's Vehikrivu B'nei Aaron, right? Pasuk only talks about the Kohenim doing things starting with Vehikrivu. So Tosas, they ask the same thing. They say, how do you know Vehikrivu B'nei Aaron means from Kabbalah and onwards you need a Kohen? Maybe it means from Halacha and onwards you need a Kohen, right? And Tosas and Yuma say, can't mean that, because there's no way that that halacha will be the turning point where from now on you need a kohen. Halacha is asher levatla, right? You want a turning point that has to be a significant avoda. Kabbalah, right? Zrika could have been. Those are important avodos. That's where we can have a turning point where from now on you have to have a kohen. We're going to say that halacha is where the turning point, you have to have a kohen. That makes no sense, right? So both reading the pasuk as assuming that it's not referring to halacha for lishma, right? And that's only learned out secondarily, and that there's no way that we would begin the isser of zaras from halacha. To also say that's because halacha is afshel levatla, and therefore it's a class B avoda. Okay, now this is like father for all. I think I have a theory, but if it's a class B avoda, so then there's one. Then the next question you need to ask. We're told, right, guys, halacha is an avoda she'ina chashuva. So, what am I going to want to know now? Two words in either English or Aramaic. That's a question.
Two words?
And it's a question?
That's a question.
And the question is three words.
So what?
Oh, I was going to say lamai
nachum. Bingo. Well, that's two words in Aramaic.
Three.
Lamai. Ah, you're right. Three words. My bad. Good. Okay, the arrow wins. I take it back.
It's not in English.
L'may nafkamina. L'may nafkamina, right? L'may nafkamina. I'm told it's conceptual breakthrough, right? Halacha is a class we have voted. L'may nafkamina. Apparently not l'shma, right? Because Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon thought there was a nafkamina for l'shma. Rabbi Eliezer thought there was a nafkamina for l'shma. Rabbi Meir, right? Stubborn Rabbi Meir said there's no nafkamina for l'shma. Well, what nafkamina is there, right? We've got to find something. We had a couple of, you know, havaminas about zar, about l'shma, but like, we've got, there's got to be something, right? So that's something you want to know. Okay, so I think we'll argue for one, thanks to Rav Esther Zalman Meltzer, because who argues with Tosos, right? The Rishon Lezion argues with Tosos and thinks that you cannot, absolutely cannot call halacha an avoda she'ina chashuva because it's afshar levatla, because this is one Rishon thinks that it's not afshar levatla at all. And Rishon thinks that you have to do halacha always just like every other avoda. And that's the only Rishon who's left on the source sheet. Rambam, right? So why? Right? Hey, read the Rambam. What does Rambam say? Okay, so what does that mean?
Okay, halacha has to be done. Regel. So you have to walk. You can't
Bingo.
Just throw it from the spot, you know, like mat style.
Right. You have to walk it. So you can't, you know, crawl it or bowl or shuffle. You have to actually, right, there are ways I could move besides walking, right? Rambam says, no, you have to walk. Right? Halacha has to be done in beregel. Lefichach, and you always perk up whenever the Rambam has a lefichach, right? Because that's a therefore, so that's a logical argument. So what's the therefore? Since halacha, shel beregel, is not halacha, what does it say? Kohen gadol, sheh, I don't know why it's coming up. Okay, right. So if he caught the blood and he stood in his spot and yeah, so what happens? Nifsal azavach. It's pasul. So why is it pasul?
Because you didn't do it regel.
So apparently, not only does halacha exactly right. Not only does halacha have to be done by regel, but halacha has to be done, right? Period. Halacha has to be done since halacha by regel shalom by regel is not a halacha. Therefore, zavach pasul. So according to Rambam, is halacha afshar levatla?
No.
Absolutely not, right? As we said before, al pi din, right? Legally, it's e afshar levatla, and the Mishnah Malach makes that point right away, right? According to Rambam, it is actually not possible to skip halacha. Okay, now there's a big problem, because, and Rav Yisro Zalman Meltzer points this out in his Even HaSL, Zalman Meltzer, I believe, was the grandfather-in-law of Ramital, right? Pretty sure?
Yeah.
He was Rabbi Tal's grandfather-in-law. Good story about him in a second. But long time. Save for next time. So this is Zalman quotes the Parish Mishnayos. And in the Parish Mishnayos, right, so if you skip to the second line of the Parish Mishnayos, where he's talking about the Machlokas in Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, so Kfar Bi Rabbi Shimon Tam Devarav, right, Rabbi Shimon is very explicit in the Mishnah. He says, Halacha does not need Lishma because it's afshar levatla, you could skip it. So why do the Chum disagree, says the Rambam? Right? Chumim omrim. Right, exactly, right? In here, what the Rambam is saying, is halacha afshar levatla?
No. Yes.
Yes, right?
Oh, then it is
exactly, right? It is afshar levatla, but
that doesn't have any
consequences for lishma. That sounds like Tosos, and doesn't sound like the Rambam, which is a problem because Rambam needs to sound like the Rambam, right? That's not good. So what on earth is going on? that's why the book was originally so thin and now it's so thick. So what do we do, right? In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that according to the Chachamim, you may not skip Halacha. And in the Parish of Mishnayos, he seems to say that the reason why they argue is whether a skippable avoda is an avoda or not. He should have just said, they argue whether you can skip or may skip halacha. So what's going on? So were you able to see okay, makes sense. It was long and it was at the very end. So take it slowly. But it's okay, because it's actually very clear. Here Solomon says, the answer to this is very simple. There are two steps to the process. There are two stages to the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Step number one, an avoda which can be skipped, is it an avoda or is it not an avoda? Right? So, according to Rabbi Shimon, an avoda that can be skipped. Is it an avoda or not?
Yes.
It is...
No.
According to this, we're going to say no. Right? According to Rabbi Shimon, an avoda which can be skipped is not an avoda. Therefore, right? So what's the nafkamina for the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, an avoda which can be skipped is not an avoda?
Doesn't even mean that by going.
Right, exactly. A, and B. Doesn't require lishma, exactly, right? Therefore, even if you do it, doesn't require lishma. So according to Rabbi Shimon, since an avoda which can be skipped is not an avoda, holacha does not need lishma.
Except then, in our little scale, Rabbi Shimon is one, not two, which would disagree with the Rish Lakish reading of it.
No, because he'll say that an avoda which is Afshalavatla is not an avoda,
right,
but
so
an avoda.
In the case of
it's e Afshalavatla.
So then it's just a difference. So then it's just like a so
what?
We really have two. We really have two halachot. Basically, he's saying, like we have a avod. We have two fundamentally different objects of halacha. One in these two korbanot, and one in every other korban, and they're fundamentally different.
Well, he says explicitly.
Basically.
He doesn't say anything about
them.
He just says,
I'm not sure.
In the sense that he's saying, if we're saying two, then and he's saying, in every other case, like, there are two halacha. There's one that's not an avoda.
Oh, holacho, not
yes,
halacho.
Yes.
Not laws.
No,
holacho. Yes.
We're two fundamentally different.
Yes, correct. Absolutely. Leo, response to your question. You're saying good. The new. Perish Mishnayos, the 6th volume red one with all the fancy footnotes, with the new translation, everything, they say, oh, apparently the Perish Mishnayos here is operated according to Rabbah and Rav Yosef.
Ah, yeah. Good.
So Yishkach, good point. Okay, so let's nail it down. What's Rav Zalman saying, and why does this matter for our Tosos Rambam situation? So he says, number one, the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon is whether an avoda which can be skipped is an avoda or not. Right, and that's exactly what the Rambam wrote in the Perish Mishnayos. But now there's a step two, and that's the key point, which is once an avoda which can be skipped is an avoda, it can't be skipped. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Once we say that even though it's afshalavatla, it's still called an avoda. So if it's called an avoda, if being skippable does not affect its status as an avoda, then you may not skip it. If being pragmatically skippable, let's put it this way, if being pragmatically skippable does not affect its status as an avoda, then legally you may not skip it.
So it's an extra, it's like a separate sort of thing that comes afterwards? That you can't skip
it?
In other words, I'm given an avoda. If,
or is that different? I mean, if part of free, never mind. That's not all.
Okay. Can you halachically? Can you skip any of the avodos?
No. Well, maybe.
So you can't skip any avodos for two reasons. Number one, you can't skip them because pragmatically, right? You can't get the blood from the inside the neck of the animal to the mizbeach without doing the avodos. So there's a pragmatic reason why you have to do all the avodos. But also, avodos are necessary. It's avoda, right? You have to do them. Pragmatically and legally, you must do all the avodos. Now, the question is, I have one avoda, which pragmatically I can skip. Does being pragmatically skippable affect its status as an avoda? Machlokas Tanai. Once we say, right, that according to the Tanakhama, despite being pragmatically skippable, it's still an avoda, and therefore shalo lishma is pasul. Well, if it's still an avoda, a full-fledged class A avoda, by what rights do you skip it? Just because pragmatically you could shecht the next door? It's unacceptable. It's an avoda, just like any other avoda, so you have to do it just like any other avoda. Right? That's the argument that Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer makes in the Rambam, and now you see why there's no contradiction to the Mishnah Torah and the Perash Mishnayos. Because in the Perash Mishnayos, he's explaining what the argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon is, right? Which is, does being skippable make it an avoda or not? Yes or no? Tanakama says, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not an avoda, so lishma goes away. Tanakama says it is still an avoda, so lishma is a problem. In the Pishat Torah, the Rambam is talking halacha maisa. Once Tanakama says that we assume that despite being skippable, it's still an avoda. If it's an avoda, you can't skip anymore because now legally it's an avoda, and an avoda has to be done. So I would just point out that this could be nafkamina for Tosfos, right? Tosfos don't think that you chas v'shalom skip holacha. It's an avoda. How could we skip it legally? How could we skip avoda? They said efshalavatla. It's right. Of course, it's efshalavatla. So why are they not going to be bothered by this point of how can I skip an avoda just because it's pragmatically skippable? Legally, I should have to do all the avodos. So they'll say very simple. Which avodos do you have to do? Which avodos must you do legally, right, in the absence of pragmatic considerations? Only, exactly, only avodos chashuvos. If it's an avoda chashuva, so then you have to do no matter what. Right? If it's an avoda she ain't a chashuva, so you're going to tell me that, no, pragmatically I could skip holacha, but chas v'shalom I skip an avoda she ain't a chashuva, so I must do a holacha. No, it's an avoda she ain't a chashuva. Right? So if you could skip it, you could skip it. Pragmatically, right? So that's why Tosos will take approach number four. While the Rambam will take approach number five. Because if you think of holacha as a class A avoda, so then you're going to say that you always have to do it. Right? If you take it as a class B avoda, you say since it's efshalavatla, it's an avoda, but it's a class B, so then whenever you're doing it, it's an avoda, but you don't have to do it. And that's exactly the view of Tosos explaining the Chachamim. Okay? So just to wrap up, right? So Rabbi Shimon thinks that since you can skip holacha, there's no problem of lishma, right? And the Amoraim seem to argue about whether that indicates it's an avoda or not. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that whenever it's pragmatically necessary, it's an avoda. Whenever it's pragmatically a waste of time, it's not. Which also makes a lot of sense. And the Chachamim, right? Either they think that that it's an avoda, but it's a weak avoda, and therefore you can skip it, but whenever you do it, it needs lishma, or they think that it's a full-fledged avoda, and that's the view of the Rambam, and therefore, since it's a full-fledged avoda, therefore he thinks that it may not be skipped, even though theoretically, pragmatically, you could have. Okay, ishkach. So one more, and then we're done for the semester.